Welcome to The Correct Opinion, the official podcast of The Movie Blog. I'm Ryan, and with me is our other writer, Jim.
What's going on, guys?
So, we're trying to start things off, trying to get, like, kind of give a voice to the blogging aspect of The Movie Blog. Recently, to start things off, let's start with a little bit of Denzel Washington. Jim and I both saw The Equalizer this past week. What'd you think of it, Jim?
Ryan, I loved it. I really did. I mean, I know we have various opinions, and most of them on the web actually have been kind of negative towards that movie, but I went to the screening the same night you did. The crowd was just popping for it. I mean, you had people roaring with cheers and claps. And, you know, I was sitting next to Michael Phillips, who's like the Tribune's movie critic. He's one of the bigger movie critics nationally. And even he was, making some sounds and noises, you know, kind of like he wasn't sleeping. I've seen him sleep before. So that movie got everyone on its feet. And I really... You see, I gave it a high score. I gave it like a 9. The reason I did that was obviously it's not an Academy Award type of movie. But it's so good for its genre. I based the movie off its genre. It's a great crime, you know, action thriller. And I thought it was one of the better ones I've seen, especially this year and maybe in the last couple of years. I think it was Denzel's probably one of his best work. In a few years, too. I mean, obviously, Antoine Fuqua was the director for Training Day and along with this movie. But I really liked this film. I thought it was action packed and it had me like, you know, they talk about movies being keeping you on the edge of your seat. This movie literally had me on the edge of my seat from scene to scene. You know, it wasn't just killing and gore and, you know, straight up action. There's some story to it. And I like how the movie built in the beginning, you know, getting into this character of who he was and, you know, trying to figure out this is an ordinary kind of guy. And I really appreciated that about the movie, that it just didn't jump in. Oh, he's an ex CIA guy and just bam, starts killing people, you know, like along the likes of, you know, Matt Damon and Bourne. I think this was just an unexpected guy. He works at a Walmart / you know, Home Depot type of place. So I really liked it. I thought the movie was really well executed. It had me entertained. And for the type of genre it was, I think it really did its purpose. You know, will it win Academy Awards? No. But I really thought it was good work by Denzel also.
Yeah, I think that's an aspect that a lot of us really miss out on, too, is there's just that pure entertainment aspect of film. A lot of people get too critical when it comes to just dissecting a film from the cinematic perspective, but really it was just a fun film.
It was entertaining, fun. I mean, you know, is it visually stunning? It's not no Avatar or anything like that. You know, it's not a masterpiece, you know, in acting, but it had some solid actors. I mean, you had obviously Denzel in it and Melissa Leo. She was really good in a limited role. I thought it just had, and you know, I love
Chloe Moretz too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She was actually it was interesting to see her in that type of role. You know, it was completely different what you expect her to see her usually in. And, the main guy, I mean, the bad guy, he was just outstanding. God, his name slipped off the top of my head, but he was really good. The main villain who played the Russian, he looked like Kevin Spacey to me, but he was really good in his acting. I think he played off really kind of an intimidating villain.
Yeah, I think one thing that's kind of funny about this is it seems to be a typecast role for Denzel. Like a lot of these very he seems to have two faces. He either has his Training Day side, which is the more rough around the edges, kind of bad cop meets good cop, but then
Safe House too. He was similar in Safe House,
right? But then we have I think in this one we got more of the quiet and cool Denzel, the one from Man on Fire, where he's a more calculated killer. He's and I think that's the Denzel that I love the most. It's because he just seems like he would fit into that ex-CIA, ex-spy type role. He just seems like such a calm, cool guy. And I think the dialogue between him and the villains alone, I think that some of that was my favorite parts.
Yeah, and, you know, he was, and like I said, an unexpected type of hero. You know, he just blends in so well as a regular guy, and that's what makes him more intimidating. And, like, damn, when you start seeing him do these things, like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, you know? That's
yeah.
That type of effect on you. But like I said, for a genre that it was, I thought it was one of the better films. And I gave it a high ranking because for that type of film, I thought it was really good. And it really had all the elements that you want in an action thriller crime drama.
And, you know, I think one of my favorite aspects of it was, for those who are old enough to remember, old school MacGyver. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
I thought they brought a little bit of that in there where it was just a little bit of ingenuity into his killing. He wasn't always using
that.
A gun.
Yeah, he never used a gun. I don't remember. Well, he used a nail gun at the end, but he was using regular tools, like literally from the hardware store.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he ended up using the gun more as a prop where he would use it to point it at somebody, but he never really shot anybody with the gun. I think it was always some sort of really cool, like, ingenuitive, like, type weaponry. It was really cool.
Yeah, I really appreciated the movie. So I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good fall flick, especially for an action movie. And I was pleased.
So let's move on from action going into straight up horror.
Straight up horror. And that's what you're going to get with Annabelle. It's from the people that made The Conjuring, and it's coming out today.
So, I gotta ask you, how do you feel about this? As it being a sequel,
mm-hmm.
or technically a prequel.
Prequel. More of a prequel.
To The Conjuring, do you think they're just capitalizing on The Conjuring name with Annabelle, or do you think this is actually going to be a substantial film in the horror genre?
You know, I love The Conjuring personally. I thought it was one of the better horror movies in years. I thought it was a different type of horror movie. Obviously, it was based a lot on seemingly true events, but the way it was done, you know, the really spooky, like, vintage stuff that it showcased you, I thought it was one of the more cleverly crafted and good films. If this movie is anything like that, even half of it, then I think it's still going to stand out more than your typical horror movie that comes out, you know, a slasher film. The thing that made The Conjuring good is that it wasn't a slasher or any movie like that. It was calculated, creepy, and very particular.
And you know, I think that's one of the aspects I liked in the beginning when it came to The Conjuring. And I think a lot of horror films kind of miss this, where they try to go with the Hollywood scare and just go over the top with things. You just need that creep factor. You need that little sense of eerie. You need to let the audience imagine it for themselves. You need to let their imagination work. And I really like that about The Conjuring, and I was a little bit disappointed towards the end when they actually added that Hollywood scare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like the end credits. I thought it was pretty cool that they showed, you know, the actual people. I thought that added to the creep element more after the fact, you know, the montage of different newspaper clippings and stuff, like, whoa, this kind of has a real feel to it, you know. And I'm not sure how much they can do with a doll. I mean, the thing about Annabelle, it is focused on a doll, so it's going to be a little bit more kind of, I hope it's not like Chucky or anything like that.
I think it'll be better than Chucky.
But yeah, but I just think it's going to take away from less of that creep factor. It's gonna be like, oh, it's a doll, it's not really like the house, and you don't know what's going on in there, you know. And plus, you had Patrick Wilson in the movie and Vera Farmiga, which are like two of the better actors, you know, especially Vera Farmiga. So you had the strong cast in that film. This film has more of a unknown type of cast, you know. I mean, James Wan is not directing, he's producing it, so that gives me some hope that he's going to kind of take away a lot of stuff from The Conjuring. But yeah, the film stars, you know, just a new group of actors, you know, and kind of unknown. Basically, Annabelle Wallace, which is kind of funny how, you know, there's an Annabelle, an actual woman named Annabelle playing that movie. Ward Horton and Alfie Woodward. So, I mean, these are unknowns to me, at least, you know, and especially to most moviegoers. I don't think these names jump out at you. So I'm curious, you know, it could be one of those. I'd rather this film be one of those really quiet films, more of an independent ones, but it's not. Obviously, it's capitalizing on The Conjuring, and the publicity is, you know, main focus of the publicity has been, oh, based on The Conjuring. So it's more of a Hollywood mainstream film. Had this been more of an indie, I think it would have maybe surprised more or had more anticipation for it.
See, I've got my doubts with it, I have to admit. Mm-hmm. I feel like they are capitalizing on The Conjuring, and I think that I think it's going to be one of those very typical surprise scare films where they just kind of go over the top. They try to make things jump out at you, and they just try to startle the audience. And I feel like it'll probably be entertaining to the horror files, definitely. But for me, I like that little bit left to the imagination, and I feel like we're not going to get that as much with the sequel, a prequel.
Right, I agree. And you know, the thing is, the only thing I'm really kind of worried about that might be a you know, not a hit, is that Conjuring came out in 2013. You know, yeah. So I mean, this is like a year later, and it's already out in the theaters. And you know, the casting for it, the main actors, they were confirmed January 15th, you know, and the movie's already out in beginning of October. So this movie was put together pretty quickly from what it seems like, you know, with the casting and just shooting and all, especially dating back to The Conjuring, which is recently released last year, you know?
Well, it's very typical with the horror genre in general. Mm-hmm. They're very quick to film. They're very, very easy turnaround. I think, it's probably one of those genres.
Almost too quick though. I'm thinking for this movie.
Yeah, I mean, but Hollywood loves to capitalize on this type of stuff. I mean, they're cheap to shoot, they're quick to shoot, and it's probably guaranteed profit during Halloween, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. Good time of the year, too. So, and I don't think it's got really that much competition. What's coming out this Halloween that's really a big horror film? I know they're going to do the remake of – I mean, not the remake, just they're going to play Saw over again at the movie theaters. But really, this is kind of a standalone when it comes to Halloween season regarding horror.
Be Ouija. I mean, that could be a
– That could. But as far as publicity and big name type of films, this is the one, you know, especially for the horror season. So I guess it'll do well at the box office. I just don't think it's going to be a very good movie.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but speaking of what should do well at the box office and what everyone's anticipating is Gone Girl. And that is coming out also today. Wow. This movie is getting rave reviews and the anticipation and expectations are super high.
Yeah. And I think it's really going to set the tone for Ben Affleck, especially with all of the negative connotations associated with his Batman versus Superman role. I don't think the social media verse has truly silenced yet from his casting as Batman. I mean, it's...
Oh, they're going to be bitter until the movie comes out. Even if he's good in it, they're still going to find reason. They just... Once they don't like you, majority of the online media community, they just don't like you, you know? Yeah. And it's going to be hard to break through. I mean, and you know, in retrospect, to think about it, they didn't like Hugh Jackman when he was cast as, you know, Wolverine. They didn't like Daniel Craig when he was cast as James Bond. And these guys turned out to be great, you know, and now loves it.
They hated Heath Ledger, too. Remember The Dark Knight?
They did. You know, so it's like it's very hard to please the internet community. But I really like the casting of Ben Affleck. You got to remember this, you know, everyone wanted Christian Bale, but Christian Bale did not want to do this movie as much as they were trying to convince him. He was tied at the hip with Christopher Nolan. And that was it, you know? And second of all, this is an older Batman. So, I mean, why would you be mad at the guy for Zack Snyder wanting an older Batman? And Ben Affleck fits that mold and category better than most, you know? Plus, he's a big Hollywood name, and you can't have a movie with, you know, Henry Cavill is still fairly unknown, even though he was Superman. You can't have another Batman that's in Henry Cavill's kind of, you know, range there. You need someone that's going to kind of sell this movie. So Ben Affleck,
I think I'm going to disagree on that point, just because I feel like when it comes to iconic characters like Superman or Batman, I feel like a lot of the fans have these preconceived notions of who they should be. And then when you take a big name actor, Ben Affleck, Tom Cruise, whoever, I feel like they're going to see a lot of their very typical acting tells, you know, where you'll see something that you've seen in every film, like Tom Cruise with his run, for instance. I mean, imagine him.
Or Ryan Reynolds does that notoriously in his films. You know, know it's Ryan Reynolds. You know, every film he does that smirk and laughing, offbeat, you know, corny kind of joke.
But I will agree with you that I do have faith in Ben Affleck. I feel like he's trying to redeem himself, but I feel like his power is more behind the camera than in front of it.
No doubt.
I think he has a lot of talent, and I think has a lot of potential for Hollywood, but this kind of goes back to your point where you said the fans are going to be upset no matter what. You are going to see some of Ben Affleck in that film. You're not going to see an entirely new actor. It's going to be Ben Affleck, and I think that's where the fans are going to be upset.
Yeah, and you know what, but you can't please him. I mean, obviously, especially coming to this movie, Gone Girl, this is, you know, the past few films that Ben Affleck did, and The Town, I love The Town, one of my favorite films.
I did too.
He was a star of it, you know, and even Argo, you know, he was behind the camera, but he was the star of it. This is a film where he's straight up just an actor, you know, this is David Fincher's film, you know, Gone Girl. So this is Ben Affleck going back without control, you know, behind the scenes and, you know, having directing and all kinds of producing input. This is him back to being an actor, you know, and with limited to no probably creative control. So this is going to really showcase if his acting ability, which people have killed him for mainly because he's done a great job as a director. And I think most would agree he won Academy Award. I think this is going to really show him. Can he still cut it as an actor, as a leading guy and, you know, behind with no creative control? That's not his film, you know. This is going to be a big proving ground, and then maybe it's going to really lead off to how it's going to affect Batman, you know, the way people perceive him in this film. This film is, from what I've heard, it's garnering like Academy Award nominee type of stuff, you know, for, you know, the film and the directing. It's going to be an award season for sure. I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I mean, already you look at the critical consensus, and I think there are way more positive reviews than there are negative.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a film, too. It really, Ben Affleck is carrying this film on screen because they're, you know, you have Rosamund Pike, you have Neil Patrick Harris, Tyler Perry, but these are all supporting actors at best. You know, this is the one big name, the one big star that's in this film. You know, he's the clear lead, you know, so this falls a lot on his shoulder. I mean, luckily he has David Fincher directing, who's brilliant, but this is really Ben Affleck coming back. And will he fall or will he rise to the occasion?
I think I'm going to stick with rise. I think
I do too.
Yeah.
And as far as the film, I mean, obviously it's based on a very popular novel. I haven't read the novel, so I'm actually excited to see the film firsthand, you know, without reading it, so not having any expectations or knowing much about it. Apparently it's in the mold, obviously, of Zodiac and, you know, one of those really puzzling type of films. And I'm hoping, you know, I don't know how you felt about the film last year that came out last fall, this time really, the Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Prisoners.
You know, yeah. how that was one of those types of films that really, like, you could have gone a thousand different ways and you had no idea what was going on. It was so convoluted and, you know, twists and turns. I'm guessing this is a similar film of that mold.
Right.
I don't know why Prisoners kind of didn't get the notoriety it should have. It kind of went under, you know, went around the back door, I guess, with some of the other films. It didn't really get considered, but I thought it was outstanding. I'm hoping this is a similar kind of film, but apparently people are more higher on this one.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Oscar potential for this film. I think with the lack of other options right now, too, it seems to be like a late start for Oscar season, just Oscar contenders in general. So I feel like Gone Girl is definitely going to be up there and up in the running.
And David Fincher is an Academy favorite too.
Oh yeah.
You know, so he's one of the top ones that always gets good, you know, attention paid to him and his films. So yeah, that's a good point. What are the really the films are running for nominations now. You know, nothing really stood out. Maybe there's some indies that were missing.
There's some late bloomers that are coming. For instance, oh my gosh, I'm drawing.
There's one Reese Witherspoon movie that's coming out, I think, in December that's garnering a lot of attention
that's
in the festival.
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right now, but.
But that's what I'm saying. It's hard to even pick out. Like, a mainstream kind of film that we've seen in the theaters that's been already.
It's Wild. Wild. It's,
that's the name of that. Yep. But really, it's all pretty much probably indies are in a running right now that either are still in festivals or, you know, being close to release around late fall and winter time, you know, before awards. But this is the one really kind of mainstream film that's gotten the attention that's should be and probably going to be in a running. So I'm excited to see it. I have high expectations for it too, you know, obviously with all the talk of it. So it's, I'm expecting something really good, but I think it's going to live up to it.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of contenders this year. I think that this one is probably the safe choice, much like American Hustle was.
Mm-hmm.
Or not American Hustle. I know 12 Years a Slave won, but I was saying more like Argo was kind of like a safe choice too. I feel like this kind of falls into that realm, especially with so few other potential films. I mean, Foxcatcher is one. Wild, like we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. I'm really disappointed that Inherent Vice is getting pushed to January because I think that would have been an Oscar contender as well with Joaquin Phoenix, Owen Wilson, and Reese Witherspoon. I mean, she would have got two nominations, but I think
as far as actor, maybe we can see if he gives a brilliant performance or a good one, maybe Ben Affleck's going to be nominated as an actor for this film too. You know, that's something to look around.
That would be nice to see. I don't think
he'll win it, but I think it'd be nice to see even him getting nominated.
Even think he'll get nominated just because of Oscar politics right now. It's just turned into a system where there's so many negative things associated with him right now that they probably feel like it would hurt their own credibility to give him any sort of nod.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they do like there are certain people, you know, all the time, and certain people just don't get the, you know, for whatever reason, don't get the real good, you know, deserving chance. Like,
I mean, a prime example was with Argo. It won Best Picture, but he didn't win Best Director, and that's such a rarity in the Oscars. And he kind of changed the mold with that, and I think it was more like a slap in the face. Like, well, I got Best Picture, but how did I not get Best Director? They usually go hand in hand.
Right. I agree. So, no, like I said, big expectations. The movie's out. Everyone's going to see it, especially a lot of people who read the book. So I'm expecting this movie to be one of the better movies of this year. So hopefully I know Kenny saw it and he liked it. So I'm expecting the same, I guess.
Yeah, and Kenny hates everything.
Right. He just likes indie movies for all of you out there. If you haven't read his reviews, he's a huge indie guy, anything mainstream. So to have him go out and see it, you know, and kind of jump on top of us and you know, hey, I want to see that one. Whoa. Then, you know, something's up there because he was excited to see it. So
he is our resident review hipster.
He definitely is. Anything that you've never heard of, he probably has and will write about it.
Yeah, you'll see all of us, like, for instance, The Guardian's review. I think all of us gave it these rave ratings, and then you look at Kenny's review, and it's just, like, out of nowhere.
I had to see this film. I'm not sure if I like it. It's not that impressive, you know. But
So I guess speaking of superheroes, let's totally switch gears. Let's go to TV superheroes. Let's talk about the Flash TV series. Let's hear your thoughts. What do you think?
The Flash TV series starting this Tuesday, October 7th. So the first episode on the CW. You know, obviously CW's had a good run with Arrow. That's what led to this Flash show.
I've loved Arrow.
Hey, you know, Arrow's just done so well. And surprisingly, you know, CW's pulling out these shows like Supernatural, who's going on their 10th season. You know, that show should have been like, you know, apparently done, or the actors plan to be done with it like after the fourth season. But the fans keep on coming. And I think CW's got a good like grip hold on this audience, you know, of these teens and young adults who are into this type of genre. And they've been doing really well. And I really think this Flash show is going to do well. And I think if Arrow could do well, and Arrow is, you know, we were talking about a character who's also, you know, not as known as the Flash, you know, the character itself. And now you have the Flash, who is a prime, you know, DC character who we've been waiting to see a movie for years. Now you get a TV show. It's first time we get to see him on screen, really. You know, I think people are going to tune into it. I will definitely.
I think Arrow should be a little bit worried, because I think I know it'll only supplement things for Arrow, but mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to be the new favorite. It's really, like, I don't know. I think it's going to be hit or miss, because mm-hmm. you have a character that actually has superpowers versus a character that doesn't. So Arrow, of course, doesn't have any real superheroes. He's just like Batman, kind of trained to his limits, while the Flash, you're going to have a lot more special effects. It's yep. going to be a totally different vibe. So it's either going to be extremely campy or everyone's going to love it. And I'm thinking the later. I think everyone's going
to
love it.
I think so too. And I really love the costume to begin with. You know, I think it looks cool. It looks movie-like, you know. The only thing I was worried about, like, if they are probably going to do a Flash film, you know, there's no question with DC now expanding, and he might be even in a Batman Superman, maybe some kind of cameo, and I'm guessing it's going to be a different Flash. But if this gives you a glimpse or an idea what he's supposed to look like in a film or on screen, I think they've done a good job, you know, especially with the costume, the look. He looks legitimate. He doesn't look corny, because that's the one fear, you know, if you give him wrong colors or a wrong outfit, he could look corny, but he looks legitimate, you know, just as like a movie character. For a TV show, that's pretty good.
And you know what's really interesting is you look at Marvel and how well they've done with their film series and how connecting everything together. But then you look at DC with this big disconnection between their characters, and then they're still planning a Justice League film. But you look at the CW, and already they're starting that formula of connecting shows Arrow and The Flash, and then they're introducing some new characters into the shows that could possibly have their spinoffs. I mean, it seems like they've got the TV formula down. They just need to apply that to the film. Film aspect, you know?
I agree. I really think they're on to maybe something now after this, you know, and maybe now the film universe. Obviously, Marvel has jumped over him leaps and bounds for over the past few years, and I think DC now with the Batman versus Superman, I think they're starting to slowly catch up and getting back on the whole. They saw what the Avengers did when you join up all the big characters together. I think DC's like, we need to keep up with Marvel, and this is maybe a slow start to it, you know, through TV.
What do you think the possibility is? I know they pretty much debunked this, but mm-hmm. say in the future, what do you think the possibility is of integrating a TV character onto film? For instance, I know there's a big following for Steve Amell to be the Green Arrow on the big screen, but at the same time, I remember this same kind of push back when Smallville was out and everyone wanted Tom Welling to be Superman.
You know, that's an interesting question, because obviously they have their following and, you know, people resonate to them as, you know, that character. But what these shows do, they're sort of like the origin stories. They don't really show Superman. It's mostly Clark Kent, you know, as it was in Smallville. Flash is one of the first type of shows that really goes ask the character, you know, focuses on the characters. That'll be an interesting take on it. What I, you know, the Flash, which led me to my next question kind of was, who's starring as the Flash? You know, the actor is Grant Gustin, you know, and his credits, I mean, he's a pretty young kid. He's
he
done
was on Glee.
Glee, yeah. 90210, yeah. You know, some CSI and Arrow, and that's it, you know? Can he carry or be a major focal point in a film with Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill? No, I don't think so. You know, he's too young, first of all. And I think he's perfect for like a CW TV show audience. But if you want it, you need a man almost. You know what I mean? In a film. And this is a kid still. You know, I mean, born in 1990. You know, so
I wouldn't push for him. But
no,
I think I would definitely jump on the Steve Amell bandwagon.
Steve Amell, yeah, I think he's got that. He does have that movie star quality to him a bit too. You know,
he does all of his own stunts too. He's an actual superhero. It's awesome,
which is pretty rare. And if you know, I think he's one of the rare guys that actually could translate it, especially since the character itself isn't, you know, that huge of a character that people would, you know, rebel against or you know just be really, you know, against, you know. the character of Oliver Queen, you know? So I think he's the one of the rare guys that can actually pull that off from the small screen to the big screen. But I wouldn't say that would be a good trend. I think you need to stick to movies because they're going to be seen worldwide, huge box office, you know, and obviously the production. I mean, we're talking about like hundreds of million dollar right. budgets, you know, versus a TV show. So you need bigger stars. So I think if they're going to do a Flash in a film, it should be someone else. And I always thought of Ryan Reynolds as the Flash.
I mean, did too. From day one. 100% agree. He is not Green Lantern. He has been Flash since day one. They should have. I know there was a. I think they let the fans decide it, didn't they, back in the day when they said it's between Ryan Reynolds and Bradley Cooper. We'll take it from your votes.
And Bradley Cooper would have probably been a better option.
He would have,
you know?
Yeah.
Especially.
He would have been a great Green Lantern.
Yeah. I mean, you know. I think the character that Ryan Reynolds is just a goof, and you know, in all his films, and that's what fits the Flash more so than Green Lantern. Green Lantern's a bit more serious, you know. Flash is just a dork, you know, in a way with superpowers, you know. Right. But that was such a natural fit. I just never understood why they picked him as the Green Lantern, you know.
Well, I think we're both very excited for this fall with TV.
And Gotham, I mean, my gosh, you know, we're talking, me and Anthony just been always on Gotham, you know, how big that show has, you know, been talked about and what the possibility of it is.
I hope the potential actually just emerges somewhere, because right now, I gotta be honest, I'm not feeling it at all.
Yeah, you're not yet. I'm still waiting for the show to develop to a point where... Obviously, you know, they're doing the slow introductions with the villains. I think the villains are going to be the key. The more they include of them,
right.
You can't just have Jim Gordon as like the main focal point, because then it turns into, you know, Chicago PD or something like that. You know, you still need to focus these characters. I think they need to kind of maybe bring in the Joker quicker than they might expect, you know, and maybe depends how many seasons the show goes, by season three, maybe we should see like an adult Bruce Wayne, and season two, maybe like a more of a young adult / late teen Bruce Wayne. You know, I think they need to speed up the timeline if they want to continue this, because they can't draw it out, you know, if they want to go, you know, by season five, start, you know, having focal point. I think the show's going to fall flat that way. But I think the potential's there. I think the characters are there to use, and it's all about building. You know, I think they need to speed up the building process, because people are going to lose interest and tune out, you know?
I think overall this just kind of says it's an exciting time for TV.
Yeah.
It's a great segue into film.
It is.
I think we're both pretty psyched about just superheroes in general. So I think it's
what the people want these days.
Right.
You know, and yeah, so that is the main box office, you know, cash cow is the superhero film. So people want to hear about him, and that's what we're here to talk about. And personally, we all grew up as fans, you know, reading comic books and being familiar with these characters. So it's not a surprise at all.
Well, I'm sure on the next podcast, definitely we'll probably interject some superhero stuff in there as well. But
yeah, and we'll probably mention the next big movie coming out next week. Really, there's Dracula, and the other one is The Judge, starring Robert Downey Jr., which could be interesting. But that's for next week.
So for all the listeners out there, if you want to stay tuned with the movie blog and the correct opinion uncut, make sure you go to themovieblog.com and check us out. This is Ryan signing off, and Jim.
See you guys. Yeah.